Welcome, everybody. This is Bart Sharp from Becoming Quantum Conscious on United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network on 107.7 and 105.3 out of the beautiful city of New Orleans, Louisiana. And we are not in Louisiana. We're not even close to Louisiana. We are still in France. And I will be here for another month with all of these great shows of people from the EU, France, and who knows what other surprises will come. But we'll come back to America in July and have a good red meeting of Americans on the show. But now we are in France, and we're surprisingly drinking water in France and not wine today on United Public Radio Network. And UFO Paranormal Radio Network, because we just like water more than wine. But we might turn the water into wine later on tonight. It's 9 o'clock here. My show in the States is at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so don't think that we're all sots over here. But 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock might be a good time for wine. And of course, thinking of water to wine, there's always this legend. This is a legend, and we really don't know, and I hope to not offend anybody, or maybe I do hope to offend somebody, but there's always this legend that Jesus died in France, and I know spots that I take people on tours where we go into where we think he did. All I can say is it's transformative, you know, and I just say that you just have to come see it for yourself if you're so curious. And if you don't believe what I say, that's totally cool. It's just stories that happened a long time ago. So there's plenty of room for error in that. But tonight we are not in room for error. We have somebody very specific, a very awesome healer. We don't want to call a doctor, because homeopathy is a medicine, and you could call them healing people, maybe doctors. But Michaela O'Driscoll has been practicing homeopathy, naturopathy, and healing, sound healing for over 30 years, working with all kinds of people all over the world. And she's very available to anybody that really wants to go into homeopathy by just a simple Zoom conversation. And so she's everywhere, basically, just like we all are on the internet. So welcome to the show, Michaela.
Thank you very much, Bart.
Yeah,
great
yeah.
Great to be here.
Yeah, it's great. She is such an expert in homeopathy, and homeopathy is something that I use and really advocate for, because when you're in a foreign country and you do not have doctors, and of course, I'm never crazy about going to a doctor or going to a hospital, but I can go to a homeopathic and they can generally set me straight just as fast as regular medicine. And that's so wonderful to have such a set that's there. You know, and the title of this show today is The Medicine and Magic of Homeopathy. And so maybe I ought to just start with a really troublesome question to Michaela. I know she can handle it. She's really smart. I talk with her all the time. What is so magical about homeopathy?
Well, it's very gentle, and the remedies are available to everyone. And there's such a wide range of remedies, but if you know nothing, you can start with a simple remedy if you fall over, arnica. Everybody knows about that. The remedies are prepared from any substance, not just herbs, but any substance, and they're diluted and they're vibrated. So it's an energy medicine. And when they match your symptoms, they work amazingly. And if they don't match, they don't do anything, but they don't have side effects.
And why do they not have side effects?
Because the amount is so dilute. So you're basically getting the memory imprint of the the substance. Mm. So they take a small amount, they add 99 drops of alcohol, water, vibrate it, then take a drop from that and mix it with 99 drops again. And it's a serial dilution and vibration of the substance, which after it's done six times means there's actually no material dose left, but you've got the energy and you can go into higher and higher ranges of dilution. So
sort of like a quantum approach that just the smallest molecular structure influences so much more.
Yeah, for example, the remedy I just mentioned, arnica. Many, many years ago, when I was 20, I had a very bad concussion. And I had some treatment. I think I had acupuncture, but I didn't know about homeopathy. And I had, for 6 months, I was unwell. And 10 years later, when I was studying homeopathy, someone recommended I take arnica in a 1 mg potency. That's 1,000 times diluted. That night, I had the most powerful dream of the injury. And the next day, I was very, very clear. It was very remarkable.
So do you think the homeopathy worked in your, not only your conscious body, but into your subconscious? And into the dream was part of that process.
Yeah, it was the physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, which is what we work with homeopathy. Yeah.
A big picture there, and something that's very simple. You know, when I think of so much about what society is these days, particularly in my home country of America, when we think of holistic medicine, we think work. Like, oh my God, I've got to change my whole life and change my diet, change my routine and do everything. And then people go, well, just let me get through the illness. Let me get through it easily. And homeopathic, I always find is really easy when you find the right people to help you, just like finding the right doctor.
Yeah, it's a gentle approach, and depending on your practitioner, but even if you know nothing, you can get remedies yourself. But basically, you start where you're at, and taking remedies can help without making any changes. Quite often, after you've had a remedy, you may feel more inclined to make changes. Like if there are serious maintaining causes of the ill health taking you into a vicious circle, the homeopathy can help undo that. But often, for example, I had someone come to me recently who's an addict, and we're working on a lot of stuff, but we're working more on the mental emotional. And I said, don't try to cut it. It's cannabis. Don't try to cut it out yet. It's going to be too much. Let's just work with what we've got. So she's taking the remedies. Then we do it one step at a
time. So the remedies themselves are working on a very emotional plane so he can build strength. So there will come a time that he will stop smoking marijuana and
not. We don't know. But yeah, they work on the physical, mental, emotional, spiritual level. And when we study homeopathy, we learn about the whole energy field. And most illness starts from spiritual, mental, emotional first, then goes into physical. So when you've got a very, in a sense, spiritual or quantum medicine, it reaches that level. And when you get a really good match, it can be quite a remarkable healing. On the other hand, sometimes it doesn't work, or sometimes it can be slow. So it's also about having patience and a little bit of persistence. But I would say to people, just get a few homeopathic remedies and give it a try.
Yes. Yes. And there's also a lot with who is analyzing what you are confronting with, because the analysis is so important to get the right homeopathics.
Yeah. So if you go to see a homeopathic practitioner, the first consultation will take about an hour and a half. You'll go into the whole history of health, all the symptoms, mental, emotional, physical, the family history, the life circumstances, every single thing. And you may not be able to even get it all in one session. It depends. And then you'll maybe then postpone, come back, and get more information the next time. But you can always begin with what's presenting and give remedies, as well as, in a way, the therapeutic consultation is already a healing. The being witnessed is already a big healing part of it.
Yeah. It's such an important part is the relationship the body has with nature.
Yeah.
And that you are getting things that are natural, like birchwood or basil, or just different things that are in our everyday life.
Well, homeopathy is natural, but it's also a quantum medicine. So some of the remedies we use, for example, we use arsenic, but it's potentized, so it's diluted and vibrated, and it's a very healing remedy.
So let's just tell people who may not know this, arsenic is really poisonous.
Don't take it in a material dose. And on the other...
But if you take it in a small dose...
It's a healing remedy.
It's
very good for food poisoning, for anxiety. And the remedy picture can be like a hologram. But also we have remedies like Nat Muir, which is sea salt, which is bland. But when you make it into a remedy, it's a very powerful remedy. And Guess what its essence is?
I can't wait for you to tell me.
It's a key remedy for grief. And what do you have in tears?
Mm-hmm. Wow. So... salty tears heal a lot of things.
Yeah. And when it's potentized and vibrated, it's what we call in homeopathy, we have certain remedies we call polycrests. They're like very deep healing remedies, and you can use them for a huge range of things. And when you get a match, for one person, it might be healing migraine. For another, it might be healing grief. For another, it might be healing something else, because it reaches the whole body.
And including your auric fields and other energetic fields.
Yeah.
In and outside of you, because that's an important part of healing, is it may not be in your body, but it might be outside of your body.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about the smallest, tiniest essence of a substance, you kind of get the idea that it goes on a ethereal level.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Penetrating.
Yeah.
So for those of you on the chat, we always welcome you to come in and ask questions or just say, hey. And if you have a particular question for Michaela, we will try our best to field it with that. So, you know, we just open that possibility up. Now, when you do an assessment on Zoom or on the internet, do you use muscle testing, intuition, books? How do you make your assessments?
So taking the case, so basically with the Zoom, you visually see the person, speak to them. All the symptoms are seen as the person's essence. And so every single symptom is very important, whether it's physical, mental, emotional. I don't personally use muscle testing. Well, sometimes I do, but it's more my whole being is like muscle testing.
Okay, you got to explain that a little bit. How do you use your whole being as a conscious assessment tool?
I get kind of told stuff or things come through and I'll get yeah or no. So it's a leaning towards, I think.
I know Michaela, and she's a tremendous psychic, and for some homeopathic doctors that's not the case at all. They will use other techniques and tools with that. You know, every practitioner is different. I use the word doctor, and this is not that. Let's just make that clear. That was a slip of the tongue. But I just see her personally as a doctor because she's really good at this.
Thank you. One thing we do is we study all the remedies. It's called a materia medica. So all the possible remedies that we can use, the tools, many of us will know really, really deeply. They're a little bit living holograms.
So that would be like to be intellectually studying all of these different remedies so you know them upfront, and you're probably intuitively feeling the concepts as you read them.
Yeah, and when I see a client, I have my computer and I have there's a site with all the remedies listed so I can quickly look something up. I usually have a few books by my side and I write down everything the person says, and I write it verbatim. So I'm not analyzing it so that when I look back, I can see, oh, they said that, or that was strong, or that was weak. I will also perceive their energy field, whether their vitality is strong or weak, whether they're angry or sad, maybe even the colors that they're wearing, or all of those things are, gives me clues.
Wow. So, and it all comes across over the internet. And why I say
and in
that
in person too sometimes.
Yeah, of course. But it's always amazing as I am a shaman and I do shamanistic work and other people do. And of course the name of this show is Becoming Quantum Conscious. So it is really a lot about the psychic world as well as other worlds that are intertwined with it. Homeopathy for one of them. And one of the things, if you're a listener out there wondering to develop your psychic abilities, is to really listen to your body and it begin to give you messages. I feel them in one way, Michaela feels them in another, and you out there, wherever you are, you'll feel them in another way. And one of the most important things to do is listen to your body while people tell you things. And also, as Michaela, this is why I first started thinking about this, as she is in this wide, fast study of all of these remedies and reading them, she's probably getting intuitive hits about how they would apply as well.
Yeah. And you were asking about the connection with nature. And as people become healthier, we tend to be more connected with nature. And a big part of the healing journey is spending time in nature. And then a very big key, no matter what you're doing, is that you drink good water, you eat good food, you have a certain amount of exercise, you have people that love you, you have fresh air, all of those things, that you're doing something that feels creative and purposeful. So, those are all keys.
So I got to be a devil's advocate. What do you do if you live in Paris or New York City or a large city that's very industrialized?
So you get really creative and you enjoy the city and you find your way where you can with what you can. A big key is that phrase, follow your bliss, what you love to do. So maybe you can dance, maybe you can have music, maybe there's a park nearby, or maybe you've got a plant. You know, sometimes you have to start really small.
So what you're saying is you should find what makes you happy and joyful. There's a difference between those two words, happy and joyful. Happy is doing something that feels satisfying. Joy is something that makes you feel internally whole and complete.
Oh,
and I love that distinction between the two. And some people can go on a dance floor and they feel that joy and wholeness because it fills them up so much. And others are going, well, I think I'm enjoying this. I'm doing a little job. And I hope the girls like me. And that's not joy. That's trying to find happiness. So you just know with those distinctions, if you're doing city living. But also, when you're talking about homeopathics, you're transforming the emotional being so that you might be more open to finding those possibilities.
Yeah, because a lot of us have a lot of shoulds in our body. We think we should like this and we should do that and that should be, and that's the right diet. And quite often people come to me and they're on incredibly strict diets and they've been told this and they've been told that. And part of the healing process is actually softening and the finding, well, do I really like going to the gym? And for some people, it's fantastic. But maybe for another, it might be they'll play golf or they'll, you know.
Yeah,
but it's
yeah.
like as you begin to soften and follow what really feels good to you and brings in joy, as you say, I like that distinction.
It really is.
Really then helps bring the healing process. But I'm just thinking, if you're in a really terrible state and you're suffering, the first thing is to bring in compassion to yourself and to remember very, very small steps, even a 1% change can make enormous difference.
So you brought up to me before when we were talking about this is how important kindness is in the homeopathic process.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Well, for example, when you see a homeopathic practitioner, we want to know all the details, like how often you go to the loo, like open your bowels.
Oh, by the way, if you're in the United States, loo is what is she talking about? That's the toilet, by the way.
The bathroom. Or we want to know details. And if you have a discharge, we want to know the color and the. So it's like everything is viewed as a what is, and it's allowed. And as we bring that to our emotions, because what one of the key things humanity is healing is a lot of trauma and shame and guilt and blame, and it's collective. And often we can be even too ashamed to begin with it. And so it's about bringing that kindness. And the thing about a homeopathic consultation is you just want to hear, and you're a big witness. And sometimes just the first session can be such a big healing, just being witnessed and listened to, embraced, honored.
So we could be just planting a little seed of kindness within you that blossoms into something else.
Absolutely.
I like to think of this thing as a shamanistic practice. I like this concept. Everybody talks about eating foods as alkaline or acidic. And of course, alkaline is good, acidic, not so much. And that would be all the processed foods and all of that other less stuff that's acidic. But also there's emotional alkalinity and there's emotional acidity. Mm-hmm. And so when we drive on anger or fear or something, mm-hmm. we are doing acidic processes. And homeopathic is a natural emotional alkaline.
Yeah. And as you're saying that, I'm just thinking, if I was listening, I'd like to know a little bit more deeply, where does homeopathy come from? And it's a medicine that's existed for about 200 years, or maybe longer.
Probably longer, I would think.
But a German doctor in 1810 wrote a book called The Organon of Homeopathy, in which he brought forward these basic principles. And the very first one was like cures like. And he noticed that when he took the medicine for malaria at the time, which was cinchona, he noticed he got malaria, and that was why it cured it.
Okay, so I wanted the concept that we're studying is like, say that again.
Like cures like.
Like cures like.
So coffee, if you take it, keeps you awake. So if you take it homeopathically, it can make you go to sleep. So it's actually simple, but it's also hard to get your head around. And I kind of try to explain it as the principle of resonance. So when something resonates, it can heal. It's almost like it cancels it out. Wow. So yeah.
So we get our first question here. This is a good one. We don't want anything easy. So aquamarine snow. She says, or he, I'm not for sure if that's a masculine, feminine. Does it matter? No. Is there something I can give to my son to help with porn addiction? He reads stories as well as watches it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a really big deal, isn't it? And at the moment, it's kind of overloading us in our world with all the craziness. The remedy Ignatia and the remedy Staphysagria, we can write them in the chat later. Ignatia is a kind of homeopathic remedy for grief.
Yeah, I would write that in, but I don't know how to spell it, so you're going to have to.
Ignatia. And the other remedy is Staphysagria.
Okay, so why don't you say it again, and I'll type it out.
Ignatia.
And what was that other one?
Staphysagria.
Oh, that's not it.
Staphysagria. And I would say get them in a 200C potency if you could, which is diluted 200 times.
Yeah. And, you know, something that comes
And just to elaborate that.
Okay, you elaborate first, I'll elaborate second.
So Ignatia is a key remedy for grief, and Steffi Zegri is a key remedy for violation. And basically, that question is a really deep question, and there could be so many different stories or things underneath that and around that. So that's just touching the very tip of an iceberg. But again, talking to your son and asking what's going on, if that's possible. And it's a very common addiction, and there's a lot of shame and craziness around it.
And also, I see that, you know, it's a very quick fix. You know, when we call them in special education, STEM behaviors. In other words, something to stimulate you really fast, you know, and that's one level of it. You know, we could do it with video games, Facebook, you know, television. So there's that aspect, but also, you might ask the question and just feel into your son when you say that. I mean, connect with him, or just say, I'd like to connect to his world and the pain that he's in, that he would try to separate from his pain by watching porn, and say, is the source of it shame, sadness, or fear? And see if which one of those are. If it's something like shame, you might say, wow, he may not be feeling really great about himself. And maybe that would be something you'd approach homeopathically.
Yeah, I would wonder about how old he is, and if he's like in puberty or past it, approaching it, because I think at that time you get a sexual awakening and you also get a spiritual awakening. And they're both very closely intertwined, and often the spiritual awakening is not even spoken about, and that's really important too. His deepest longings, his heart dreams, what's he doing in his world, his friends, you know, what's going on, what does he love to do, and
boy, yeah there's so many with that particular one at a particular age, and it's something that's going on a lot in the world because it's such a fast food stimulation society. And so to jump into that is really available and easy.
And anything that will activate heart connection, because the big thing about pornography is a complete disconnect, exploitation.
So I got to ask this question. What good homeopathics are there for heart expansion and connection? Because that really felt very strong.
Well, in a way, those two remedies, you could say, but it's more like when you get a good match, it will expand your heart. So another remedy that's an amazing remedy for very severe depression when someone's lost everything is aurum, and that's actually potentized gold.
But say that again.
A-U-R-U-M. Or aurum metallicum, aurum met, yeah.
Okay.
I think you've put auran. It's aurum, but it's not so much a first aid remedy. It's very deep acting, but it can be very helpful where there is extreme depression, and that's also going to help activate the heart. But as it's such a holistic medicine, you're going to be looking at the whole picture. So this young man, or I don't know the age, may have very different story. There could be very different reasons.
Yeah.
But giving heart and bringing heart, kindness, compassion to him, to you, to it all.
And also, you could just go back to William Shakespeare. Thinking that it's so makes it so. That's an important part with anything that anybody does, is like their self-judgments they have towards themselves.
That is so important. That's beautiful. And in fact, sometimes when there are emotional issues going on, the self-judgment is the biggest thing to overcome.
And you can start to see the complexity of homeopathy, that it hits it at so many different ways and levels. And it just seems that
He's 23. Okay. Saw that. And then it disappeared again. Okay.
Yeah. And I just forgot what I'm talking about.
He's 23, but I have a feeling he's been doing it since he's a teenager, which is really common. And to know that it's common, can help, because it's one of the biggest industries, unfortunately, in our world. But these things are being tackled. Because another thing about homeopathy, or me, is I feel that we're creating a new earth. A lot of really difficult things are falling apart, and that's one of them. And this is one of the great tools that we can use. It is natural medicines, homeopathy.
And indeed, and when we talk about the new ideas and new earth, we're really talking about a jump in higher forms of consciousness. Yeah. And that's why you may have tuned into becoming quantum conscious, because that's what we want to bring this about. And homeopathy, if you start to see the symptom, you may start looking at, well, what is that emotional part that I can start to have the possibility of changing? Those things always come up. And sometimes that's as much as finding a friend to talk to, doing counseling, or just reading books, or, you know, my favorite form of therapy. Can you guess what my favorite form of therapy that always works, always gets me clear, and is quiet and private?
I was going to say going to sacred sites
in France. That's true. That's true. But before I started going to France at sacred sites, I had a notebook and I wrote out my feelings. And something about writing out your feelings gets them really solid in your awareness, you know, and then you can start to see it clearly about what that is, and it begins that process. It's very private. That's why diaries and notebooks and all of those things are so valuable. But just going back to this like cures like, and that, anything else you want to share about that?
So the founder of homeopathy, Dr. Samuel Hahnemann, he published this book in 1810. And basically, he and many of his followers started taking medicines repeatedly, and they noticed the symptoms that they got. And then if somebody was sick with those symptoms, that medicine would cure it. But then they noticed if they were taking it in crude material dose, some of those medicines had side effects. And then he began to dilute them, and then he began to vibrate them in between each dilution. And then he noticed that it not only made them more, it made them more powerful as healing agents, and then there was no side effects. Mm. Yeah.
And we have another comment here. It's also, he's had a hard time falling asleep, and he just started trying CB gummies to help. And that's probably why he likes sex, you know, self-stimulated sex, is it probably helps him relax.
Yeah. And CBD can be a useful tool. Yeah.
And so you start to look at something like that and say, well, where can this evolve to where he may start to get motivated to relating to somebody else?
I think it starts with self-love and respect. And often, again, it's that shame situation.
And I know homeopathy is, you know, what it gets its fame for is treating illnesses. But it also helps in a proactive way.
Yeah, definitely. Because it helps often mental, emotional, physical, all together. In a really powerful way. Yeah.
Now, so this could be something, it's like somebody I knew was living in the northeastern United States and was under a lot of cloud cover, was not used to being inside and having 6 months of cloudy, rainy days. That's quite a culture shock, and went into some deep depression. How would you treat something like that?
Well, again, to take the whole case, get them to go outside every day, no matter what the weather was, if possible, and wrap up, which may sound very basic. But, you know, I am a mum, I'm basic. And also those things are really important, getting outside. And then you would look at the whole case, because it could be for that person one remedy would help that would relate to their body constitution, or it could be so in terms of depression, we don't see it as a symptom in isolation. We see it, each remedy picture becomes like a living hologram. So it could be, aurum would be helpful, but it could be natmur, which is the sea salt. Could be another remedy we have called calc carb, which is the lining of an oyster shell, calcium carbonate, but potentized. It's a powerful remedy. So many of these, what we call polycress remedies, have the symptoms of depression or grief as a keynote as well. So it could be many possibilities. And that's why it's good to get somebody who knows a lot.
It also sounds like a lot of those are connected to the sea or the ocean, for particular depression.
Yeah.
In which, you know, when you think about the sea, one quality of that is it's always moving.
Yeah, and emotions move.
Yes.
And they need to move. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they get stuck. I mean, we do have the remedy sulfur, which is a great constitutional remedy. So, you know, there are there are very many. Yeah.
Yes. I was having foot issues when I came here, and Michaela gave me a homeopathic, which is why I wanted it on the show, because my feet quit hurting.
Which one did you give?
You just gave me arnica.
Oh, okay. Oh, very good.
But it's really simple.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, we need to talk more, Michaela. This is really good. You know, now arnica is a homeopathic, correct?
Yeah. And you can have it in material form as a tincture for bruising. But if you put it on broken skin, it's not good. It will irritate it. But on bruises, it's fine. But taking the homeopathic pill of potentized remedy is even more powerful.
Wow. Yeah. So if somebody came in for something like depression or addiction, you might go through a whole gamut of not only emotional and physical, but use a variety of homeopathics as they evolve in their process.
And for example, with addiction, I had a family relative who is alcoholic, beloved relative, and every so often I'd say to him, hey, can I give you this remedy? And it was in a 1M, and I told him it'll help you. So it wasn't in a bad way, under subterfuge, and he'd take it, and it made him more sensitive to alcohol, so he couldn't really carry on heavy drinking. But then he started AA, and he's actually very long time, you know, but it's a very helpful remedy, Nux Vomica 1M. Well, so that you could say could be for addiction.
Well, that's all very true with any addiction, is that we lose our sensitivity, and therefore we're going over the edge with overdoing it.
Yeah.
And we're not feeling so much. So you're helping them tune in to actually what's they have pushed aside.
Another part of homeopathy, because there's lots of layers and there's so much to say, but we study the family history and tendencies to disease.
Wow.
So for example, we also use disease products as remedies, and they're potentized and diluted. And so we use tuberculosis, we use syphilis. Mm-hmm. And it's really powerful. So if you're treating somebody and there seems like a block or a destructiveness, one of those remedies can be very good. Chronic bronchitis, tuberculinum quite often can be really, really helpful as a remedy in between.
What would be some of the emotional stuff with tuberculosis, I wonder?
Well, the keynote is longing. And you think of the poets who burnt the candle at both ends and died in Ireland, all my relations.
Oh, yeah. Your kinfolks, okay.
Tuberculosis was really big. Yeah.
Yeah, but it is that maybe being isolated too long over the winter and holding that into the lungs, which the lungs hold a lot of sadness there, as I've always found in shamanic work.
Yeah.
And therefore, you can go into that. So anything with the lungs, you might wouldn't even look at that.
Yeah. Oh, look, we have something here.
Oh, did we do?
Husband's attending AA.
Could you repeat what you gave for alcohol and addiction?
Oh, Nux Vomica. Yeah, Nux Vomica. It's the number one hangover remedy.
Oh, you got to spell that one again.
N-U-X. And then another word. Vomica. Nux Vomica. And either in a 200 or a 1M.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's very nice hangover remedy. Not that we want to keep having hangovers, but it's a remedy for overindulgence and irritability, and it's very good for the liver. But it also helps release addictions. And along with that, sometimes sifalinum.
Mm-hmm.
And the essence of syphilis was destruction, self-destruction, and that can help.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So amazing how much the emotional and the addictions are working with the physical there. That's amazing.
In a way, it's all part of the human condition, which we collectively all experience. And often we shame it and we push it into a corner. Mm-hmm. But, you know, every family's experienced many of these things at different times.
So I wanted to ask, just to kind of take this in another direction. Sorry, I'm starting to have fun with this. When we talk about so many in the industrialized countries, you know, toxicity is what we all struggle with.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be what we breathe, what runs through our walls with electricity, et cetera, et cetera. Any thoughts about that?
Many, many, many. First of all, we need to change it. And I think it is coming, and people need to speak out about the things that are causing harm, like for air, water, food, that mm-hmm. needs to. I would recommend to people to eat organic. It really makes a difference. And then it makes more people make organic and have less chemicals in our food. There are remedies. One of them is Nux Vomica and the other is sulfur. Sometimes I get people to take a certain amount, like Nux Vomica in the morning, sulfur in the evening for 10 days in a very low potency as a bit of a detox. There's another remedy called Thuja. That's quite a clearing remedy. It's the remedy, key remedy for warts. We've got so many, there's so much. But basically, coming back to simplicity, good air, good water, good food, and simplifying your life, and where there is pain and suffering, just taking small steps at a time to shift it. And that may sound, what's the word? But it's like, it's amazing. Such small changes can make big impact in our lives.
And that's the whole principle of homeopathy.
Yeah.
Little bitty, it's almost like getting the ball rolling.
Less is more.
And we have a comment here, but I wanted to tell a related story. I started taking a grass and greens from this product. I'll just say their name because I love them, Green Vibrance. And they're little bitty capsules of freeze-dried spinach and greens. And when I would muscle test them to see what their potency was, it was just like a really high potency that you just buy at the health food stores. But what I found is that when I started taking them, and I would just take one or two, they said on the jar that you should take 15 a day. And I'm going, oh my God, I can't do that. It was overwhelming. But one to two would just start to change things that I craved, sugar less, and it changed my whole diet because sugar wasn't really needed so much. It stopped the cravings. By just getting more greens and grasses in my body, kind of like a homeopathic influence. But we had this great suggestion from Zik Bali, and sorry if I got that wrong. Any suggestions for lymphedema and lymphedema?
Lymphedema, and what was the other one? Oh, lipodema.
Lipodema.
I'm not quite sure what that is. That sounds like swelling. Sometimes if it's an allergic reaction, that would be APIS. But I'm not sure off the top of my head. I would think what's coming through is yoga and some physical massage, you know, lymph drainage. But I'm not sure. Yeah. And we've lost our...
No, we just went to a large screen. That's why that little squirt on my face. So okay. I don't know. Then we went back to regular.
There we are back.
Thank you for doing that, computer. So if we made these weird expressions, but I know I did, it's because I touched the wrong button on my program. So,
oh, the green vibrance, fantastic. And yeah, the other thing is, many of us have a level of malnutrition and sometimes a level of lack, emotionally, physically, mentally. But as we start to eat well, we start to then get back into balance, because many of the addictions and cravings are caused by being imbalanced, out of balance.
So lymphedema, would that also be something related to our lymphatic systems and having toxicity in our lymphatics? And ZDC Bali, if you can give us more information, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Because we're not trying to ignore you. We just don't know how to address this.
Yeah.
And so just let us know if you can give us more, because the lymphatics, particularly if you're in America, now we're in lovely France right now in the Pyrenees Mountains, and it is so clean. The water's, you know, vibrant. And there's a huge difference when I come here. I live here a few months a year, but my body cleanses out because I'm in cleaner air. I'm drinking water from mountain springs, and then I'm eating all this wonderful French food that it doesn't have GMOs. I get healthier, of course. But
inflammation of fat tissue.
Yeah.
That sounds complex. I'd probably need to know more. I'm not sure. But reducing inflammation. Oh, it's huge in the USA. Okay, so reducing inflammation is a key. So it's like alkalizing your diet, lemon juice, alkaline green leafy vegetables. And sometimes when there's inflammation, a remedy that's helpful is called belladonna. But that's more in an acute situation. But belladonna can be helpful.
Well, toxicity is such a big thing. And I think what happens a lot of times is we start having allergic reactions to things. And you might start thinking about taking a list of the things that you are eating and doing muscle testing. You go, I'm not allergic to this, 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 and go down the list to see what that is. Because that causes a lot of it.
Yeah.
So any other things that you can add to this? This is a tough question.
Yeah.
But she's a smart girl. So I know she's got.
So basically anything to reduce inflammation. But I think I'd need to know more about, there may be some other protocols that might be useful. So I don't have a lot more to say on that right now.
Yeah. It's a big one in the United States. I certainly struggle with that. I will say this. This is what I've done with lymphatics is I bought a LymphStar machine because I have inflammation in my joints when I'm in the United States from time to time. It's funny, in France, I never had this stuff, but I found that the LymphStar, LymphStar machine did a lot of great things for me with that, because it cleanses the lymphatic systems, and it does so better than a lymphatic massage.
Does it jiggle your feet, or is that something else?
No. This is an electrical machine.
Okay.
But really looking at the lymphatics to move the energy out of there is really huge.
Mm. Well, I need to find out more of that from you.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah. With that. So anything about cleansing, anything that is homeopathic about cleansing stuff?
There are the remedies like Nux and Sulphur and Thuja.
What was the last one?
Thuja, Thuja. It's a very clearing, with a J rather than a G.
Okay.
It's a very clearing remedy of ill effects of medications.
And a lot of this stuff you can buy at Whole Foods or some health store like that.
Yeah.
But when you get somebody like Michaela and does a complete analysis, it's very different. And by the way, if you did not know this, we are on United Public Radio Network 107.7 and UFO Paranormal Network 105.3. Just throw that in there. We got about 5 more minutes here. So
One thing about cleansing, people can go on a cleansing diet for a week or so, like the fasts with the water, the lemon juice, the grape juice. But quite often, having a clean diet and eating basic good food, then at the end of the day, if you have a little bit of something, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
So I think introducing a rhythm of healthy eating so that you're not going from one extreme of a very severe diet to then binging. Yeah. So introducing healthy eating. And as I say, again, my preference is small changes, one step at a time, and just cleansing. I always have a little bit of lemon juice and water first thing when I get up. I love it.
Mm. So, just to change it again, can you think of any cases you'd like to share of some of the processes that you work with other people with?
Oh, where would I begin? Just to say to parents with children, homeopathy is amazing with children. And I haven't had so many children patients since I've been away from the UK, but I used to treat a lot of young children, and children respond really quickly to homeopathy. And I think keep them away from doctors as much as possible, because there's too many interventions at the moment, particularly in the United States, and give them healthy food and get them outdoors. But they will respond to remedies like belladonna for fever, inflammation, chamomilla for teething, pulsatilla for feeling alone or abandoned. And they will respond really faster than adults because they're naturally more healthy.
So when you start in this process, this is why it's good to have a homeopathic counselor like Michaela, because she goes in and sees the whole picture and guide you through that process, because sometimes it just catches up with us. We're cruising along and we have a child, or we look at our own life and going, what happened? I'm 10 years down the road, I'm suddenly not healthy, I'm not healthy, and I don't know what happened. And that's why we can go in and have some sessions with somebody and have a new direction.
Yeah. For example, I may get someone who's been repeatedly on antibiotics, and there's a point where if you're repeatedly taking them, they're not working and they're actually weakening your system. And then there's a side effect because the gut flora get diminished. So then we start to work more deeply, and little by little, very often they won't have recurrences and they will stop taking repeated doses of antibiotics. Mm. And at the same time, not to diss medicine, modern medicine, if you break a leg or you have an accident, that's fantastic. But it's like there's so much chronic illness at the moment, and we need more creative solutions, and homeopathy is definitely that.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it's so much of that process of that is such a big thing. And our society is so stressful. I just keep thinking about any suggestions with adrenal glands, because I think that's one of the things people are really hard charged with. It's like move. They have so much stress. They're driving hard. They're working hard. And all of a sudden, they don't have anything in the tank anymore because their adrenal glands have gone flat.
Yeah. It's living in a society which is 24/7, 7 days a week. Yeah. So there's not necessarily a magic pill, but there are homeopathic remedies that will help. But I won't say particularly just one or two, but it's going to be a whole process. But the first thing is to breathe out and stop and take a pause and know it's okay to rest, and it's okay to be tired, and that to honor when your body says it's had enough, it has had enough, before it gets to that point where it's completely
empty. But some of us in our 50s or 60s, after we've worked for 20, 30, 40 years, all of a sudden we're kind of kaput. Or you start to wake up, and if you start to wake up at 4 a.m. in the morning, I was a school teacher and I knew these teachers that would do this. And I just knew they are on the downhill slope with their adrenal glands. And this is why homeopathy is so good, because you can start getting something proactive to help you deal with this profession that you've chosen. It's an honorable profession to be a teacher, but it's tough on the body and tough on the adrenal glands. So we just have another minute.
Well, just remembering that no matter how serious something is, it can always be turned around. And just to add also, along with homeopathic remedies, I'll often use herbal remedies as adjuncts, as supports for organs. So it's not just totally purist, and that there's a very holistic approach. Yeah. But to know that the body loves to heal, and even if it looks really bad, it'll start to turn to go the other way towards healing.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of homeopathy, is it starts to give us emotional strength so we can start to have confidence that our body will heal. And somewhere in that, strength happens.
Yeah.
Wow. Once again, wonderful 55 minutes and having Michaela O'Driscoll here. Now, if you can't read the ticker, Michaela O'Driscoll's website is exactly as it sounds. That's Michaela and then O'Driscoll, and that'd be DRISCOLL.com. So it's just all written out without any capitals or apostrophes or anything like that. MichaelaO'Driscoll.com. And you can check her out and see all the wonderful work that she does. And if you feel like this service is for you, call her up.
Email me.
So this is the Bart Sharp of Becoming Quantum Conscious, United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network out of the beautiful city of New Orleans, Louisiana. And I really thank you for coming. And next week, we are going to be studying the ancient history of the spirituality of Southwest France with Catherine de Courcy, who has recently wrote a book on Montségur that is so awesome, about the historic Cathars. But we're going to go so much more than that with this rich history here in France that both of us love, because we're sitting here in France right now enjoying this beautiful evening. So come join us next week as I have more stuff in June that is EU and France influenced. And hope to see you then, and wish you all the best. And very good health. Thank you, Michaela.
Thank you so much. Lots of love to everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.